Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio and all podcast catchers, YouTube, however you're listening and watching us. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian, and I'm going to flip the camera around. There she is.
Hello.
Straight from, she's the queen of Hollywood, straight from.
We met Seal tonight.
She met Seal tonight.
Yes.
She's partying with the rock stars. It's Nicole Six.
Good evening.
Everybody's favorite horror writer.
I hope so.
Well, you know, Nicole, it's never too late to follow your dreams.
I agree.
And we have two people that are following their dreams, and they've already achieved a lot.
That's wonderful.
And they're going to achieve more. As a matter of fact, I would say, if we had a theme tonight, 6 degrees of Shia LaBeouf.
Oh, really?
Because right here, this man is an actor, writer, director, and has been winning awards, and also from his acting reel, the master of really bad fake mustaches. he has filmed The Paradise Hotel that he wrote, directed, and acted in, has been receiving a lot of award attention, and he's got all sorts of products, projects and things going on, and he's got a very interesting story. It's Walter, and you say your last name because I'm going to mess it up.
Hochbruckner.
Hochbruckner.
Yeah.
Walter Hochbruckner.
What nationality is that?
German. It's very German.
Okay.
Yes. So that's we've got Walter, and we also have, I know how to say your name. My co-star in Lies of the Wicked Warden, and also she's been in many, many movies from Indiana Jones to Apex Predators 2 and much, much more. It's Janet Lopez.
Hey, you guys.
Hi, Janet.
I'm not going to attempt to say his last name, but
I won't either. We'll all take a vow never to try to say his last name. We might summon a troll.
Well, let me ask you a question, because before we get started. There has to be another Janet Lopez in SAG, right?
Well, you know what's interesting? So there is another Janet Lopez, but I am the only Janet Lopez actor.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I am the only Janet Lopez actor. Unfortunately, the other Janet Lopez beat me to IMDb, and she is, so I am number two. She's number one. She is a music supervisor.
So there was never a Janet Lopez that registered with SAG as an actress?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
That is unusual.
At least they don't have any IMDb credits. So
The interesting thing is there's 25 Walter Hochbruckner. So that's
it seems like it.
Yeah. So anyway, before we get started, I do have to say, and I'm ashamed to say, I really needed to wake up this morning, so I had our sponsor, and this is the last can I had, Ray's Energy Drink. I don't know if you guys like energy drinks. This is the best. You can't get this in stores. You can't get this in GNCs. I have a case on the way, and I drank my last one this morning. This was it. Galaxy Burst. Nicole will tell you. Delicious.
Delicious. Mixes well with alcohol.
Yes, it does. And the best part, zero calories, zero carbs.
Wow.
Zero crash. And zero dies. And if you go to the description page on your podcast catcher or on YouTube, use our code, you get 15% off a case, and I recommend that.
Nice.
So, unfortunately,
I just gotta say, I was on a keto diet, and that's one of the hardest things to do is find something that has those kind of calories, like zero
really?
Carbs. Yeah,
well, that's hard. Right. It's keto friendly.
Keto friendly.
Right.
I'm just so when you said that, I was thinking, oh wow.
So I'm cheating and drinking Liquid Death water, and I've reached out to them before. So if they want to sponsor us, please go right ahead. Before we get started with these two stars, tell me about your evening, Nicole.
So I get to the gallery at 6 o'clock, and I go there quite often. It's one of my favorite places. And they have us waiting downstairs. Seal is upstairs with his fantastic new photography exhibit.
Seal, Kiss from a Rose, Seal.
The Seal.
The singer. Seal.
And so then we go up there, and Seal is wearing like a tracksuit. Like, I don't know who made it. It had a brand on it I'm not familiar with. But he was just leisurely sitting there petting a dog. That was my first introduction to Seal.
Really? Because he's usually in his videos like in a nice suit with
I know, but he wasn't. He was wearing like a tracksuit.
I'll bet it's probably his brand.
I think so too. It would look very comfortable. Like, it looked like a very comfortable outfit. So
did you say hi to Seal?
I did. I didn't take a picture. I felt that'd be inappropriate because it's not the sort of place you bust out a selfie. You got to have some class.
I understand. And how did Seal react to that?
He was very nice. I told him that his show was wonderful, and he was very gracious about it.
And how was the show? Now that you're talking to me and you're not talking to Seal, you don't have to just ask. How was it really?
It was nice. It was photography, and then there was art across the way by a different artist, and it was a double opening.
Okay. And his photography is good?
Yeah, his photography is good.
And the other artist, I would imagine, was pretty good.
Yes. I've never been to a bad show at the Leica Gallery. Like, that's where I met Nikki Sixx, so.
Right. And by the way, that... She's never invited me to a show at the gallery, but that's the way it goes.
I'll invite you to the next one.
Oh.
Yes. That's okay. It's like yesterday. She's like, oh, by the way, I'm going to be late because I'm going to be hanging out with rock stars like Seal. So, Walter, when I say 6 degrees of Shia LaBeouf, I want to get that out of the way.
Okay.
You were in a couple of pretty big blockbusters. One was XXX State of the Nation. We'll talk about that a little bit. But you were in Eagle Eye with Shia LaBeouf.
Yes, I was.
And how did that come about?
Well, I was working as just an extra, and they decided that they were going to make me a senator.
Mm, oh, so, cool. You have a very face for that.
That look. Yeah.
A senatorial face.
Yes, exactly. I mean, I look like I'm in charge, you know? I'm a boss man.
Yeah. Well, or either that or you look like you're corrupt. I'm not really sure what you're saying.
Or a corrupt senator.
No, you look like one of those honest senators.
Yes, honest.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
They're honest senators?
Sure. I'll take the pay.
I'm sure they were at one time. I was going to say Bernie Sanders, but you look much younger than him. So he's honest.
I hope so.
He's an honest man. But you have an interesting story because, you, along with Janet, were acting, and then you kind of stopped for a little bit, and then you picked it back up because you became a big video game designer.
And developer.
Wow.
And producer. I did it all. I designed a number of games, and I was able to produce a number of as well. Like Heroes of Might and Magic. It was the second most played game in the world.
Wow.
At the time we ended it.
That's great.
And we finished it. And then it's still going on. And in Russia, David Mullock, shout out to him, he actually took over after I left the company. And he became a teacher.
Huh.
And he was actually in Russia teaching them game design.
Wow.
Just recently, within the last couple of months or so.
Cool.
So he was having a really good time doing that.
And sadly enough, they're using that strategy to attack Ukraine. But that's
probably. I wouldn't be damned.
I'm kidding. It's a joke. Okay. Anyway, don't take what I say seriously. But I don't want Putin to send like a KGB assassin in here to choke me out. Like so. Anyway, but I mean, you were when I say you were designing video games. This is like. Like in the infancy, like you were, you designed Apple II games.
I did.
Wow.
I was
Apple II for you kids, and I barely remember this. Was a computer like before the Mac?
Okay.
Like in the 80s.
Oh wow!
This is like pre Stranger Things. This is like really really far back. This is like Flock of Seagulls days, and there was like Pong. And then to go through the history of video games, there's Pong and then Atari and Pac-Man,
right?
Which was like a big, like that was the big explosion. And is this when you got into video games, when Atari
was starting out? The industry was very new. Companies were springing up everywhere, and especially in the Valley, in San Fernando Valley.
Right. Porn and video games.
Porn and video games at the same time, I'll tell you. And there were even some porn video games.
Oh, what? No. Oh, yeah.
Leisure Suit Larry.
It was really interesting. It was wild. It was
did
really
you ever
wild.
Work on any porn video games?
No, I never did. But I saw a few.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
I'm sure you saw some that were a little more hardcore than Leisure Suit Larry. That's for sure.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I worked on that. I actually did a conversion of that for another system.
Oh, wow.
I did that on the Commodore. And I worked on another version for another system that died. It was the Panasonic.
Right.
And it never made it.
Oh, Panasonic did like a console for home?
Yeah, they did. They did a computer for home.
Oh wow,
it's unbelievable. It never took off.
Right,
unfortunately. So,
and Janet, just so you know, because I'm sure you look befuddled, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners and viewers have no idea what Leisure Suit Larry is. This was a game.
I was like,
where a dorky guy wearing like a disco leisure suit from the 70s tries to hit on women.
What?
And it's a strategy game where you try to get a woman to have sex with you.
That's the whole premise of the show.
To get Larry laid.
That's the game. That's the game is to get Larry laid. This was a big video game. on home computer, really. And then they had Xbox. They had, you know, it didn't get past the Xbox, really.
It's like the Sims, but like.
It's like the Sims, but yeah, it is kind of like the Sims.
Yeah, because you do get married there. You have kids. You built your house.
Yes, but they skipped the sex and they put it right into Leisure Suit Larry. But,
right.
But what was that big Apple II game that you designed? I have it written down, but I can't read it.
Conquering Worlds. It was the first game I ever wrote. Was Conquering Worlds back in 1981.
We're all 29 here, but how did you get the idea for that?
Well, I used to play a lot of Risk, you know,
the board game, yeah.
The board game. And I thought, you know, what if you had
I already explained Leisure Suit Larry. I'm not explaining Risk. Okay. No, go ahead. So you played Risk as a kid. I play Risk. I love Risk.
Oh, yeah. I love the game. I love the game. And I thought, what if it was computerized? So the first time when I got my Apple, I went ahead and I said, well, maybe I can make something out of this. So I went ahead and I created the first game, and Datamos picked it up. I submitted it to a number of different companies at the time, mm-hmm. and they called me up. In fact, they sent me a contract. They didn't even bother talking to me about it first.
Wow.
They sent me a contract, 20% royalty.
Nice. I went,
whoa, okay.
You're I'm like, all right.
I signed it. They flew me down because I was living in Seattle at the time, and they were in Chatsworth. And all they did was they say, hey, look, you know, let's check this out. We want you to come and finish the game. We want you to add a few things, you know.
Okay.
I had some sponsors that wanted me to put in within the game. I said, cool. All right. I'm ready for that. I came down here and they said, you know what? You're doing such a good job. We like what you've done. We like what you're doing. You're hired. We want you here. We want you to move down here. So they moved me down from Seattle to here.
And that's how you got to LA. And you've designed other games up until the late 90s, early 2000s, March Madness. And you may have played this because I know I played this, the Shrek arcade game.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
If you've ever been to a Chuck E. Cheese, they're there.
Wow.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but you were never striving to be an actor or a director or a writer, or you always were?
Well, it's interesting. I started off as an actor in high school. Mm-hmm. I got very much into it. I was into choir and all that good stuff. And I got into acting, and I won Best Actor in my senior year, mm-hmm. You know, for The Music Man, and because I was a lead in that.
Right.
And I decided that, well, you know.
You have a very Music Man kind of look.
Yeah. I'm a Music Man. He's a what? He's a Music Man.
Well, what's a big song in Music Man? I don't know.
76 Trombones.
Oh, okay.
There's a whole bunch, but that's one of my favorites. So.
Right.
But anyway, it was just one of those things where I had to make a living, you know, so sort of like you can't really make it very easily in this biz. I mean, this is a very tough business to make.
Yeah, I'll just make 20% off one of the biggest selling video games on the market.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll be an actor.
They want me to help out on the NCAA March Madness.
Why not? Yeah, put the money in my pocket. I won't argue.
Yeah. But I was like, you must have made a mint on the Shrek video game, but you said you didn't.
No, I didn't. I was an employee at the time.
Yeah, you were on salary.
I was on salary, so I didn't get anything of the money, and of course it made it big.
Right.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
Now, did the big Atari crash hurt you, or
no? Actually, it didn't.
Yeah, because you were doing video straight to computers.
Yeah, I was. So it didn't bother me much at all. In fact, in some ways, it streamlined it because it gave more opportunity for me to do other development. So fine,
cool.
I'll accept it. Yeah, that's cool. It's cool.
Right.
So anyway, after being a game programmer for 23 years and finally retiring after March Madness because I, you know, it was enough. I mean, it was just mm-hmm. getting too much. I worked 104 straight hours on that game.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Okay, trying to get that done.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, for the Shrek Racer.
Oh, for Shrek, yeah.
Yeah. And then we had to meet the deadline, which was November the 1st. If we don't get it out by November the 1st, it doesn't get out for the Christmas season.
Mm-hmm.
And there goes all that money down the drain.
Right.
So the millions of dollars that they would have gotten income would not happen.
Right.
And so they tell you, you got to have it done by that day or else you're fired.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. Really?
Yeah, it was pretty much
that
on the
bad?
Line.
Yeah.
And the ironic thing is you quit.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I figure, hey, you know, after 104 hours of me putting my head on the desk and sleeping for five minutes and getting back up and just trying to barely function again, you know, to get the thing out the door, I said, you know what? I'm getting too old for this nonsense.
Right.
This is bullshit.
You can swear.
No, please. we encourage profanity.
Yes. Oh, you do.
Oh, absolutely.
In that case.
But so you were staring at LeBron James or whoever. I don't know who was in college back then, but it was like, I can't look at LeBron James anymore. That's a great story. Here's another great story because you Now, was it your mom or your dad that talked you out of being Selena?
Oh, that was no, both my mom. That was my mom.
You almost were the young Selena in the Selena movie.
Yeah, they wanted me to play her, but my mom said no.
You're somebody that just falls into everything.
Yeah, actually, that has been happening. Where they reach out to me. That was actually what happened. We were drawing. I don't know. I don't recall exactly, but I do remember them offering me and saying, "Hey, we would like to audition you for that role. We want you. You have that look." And yeah. My parents were not having it at the time. Like, they didn't want me to be an actor. Really? Or a model. No.
But you were a model then.
I did become a model eventually, yeah.
How'd you stumble into that?
I was at a store, at a clothing fashion store, and a guy was there, and he's like, "Hey, I own a modeling agency. You have this look. I want you to, if you're willing to, you can come. Your mom can come if she can consent, and I will teach you how to walk and everything, and we're going to go ahead and take you and whatnot." That was like my dad's worst nightmare.
I'm sure, yeah. Now, Nicole, did anybody ever do that to you at Forever 21? Or
No. But okay. I would have been a plus size model at that time.
Right, but yeah. So you stumbled into modeling, and you also stumbled into a theater job for two years.
Yes, everything was like, it was just like that. So I did modeling for a while. Traveled everywhere as a minor. And then acting, too. I actually stumbled because...
And your dad must have been thrilled about that.
Well, at that point, it was more of my mom that was involved because I had moved away. So it was more of my mother. But yeah, I think she kind of just let go of the... Like, just kind of let go and just... She just let me do it.
And just to give context, you're the child of immigrants.
Yes.
So they came into this country and their beautiful child is swooped up by a modeling agency.
Yes. Yes,
their worst
first
nightmare.
Generation. Right. I know, right? Yeah, they're like, no.
Yeah, no.
So, that actually, I did a modeling contest at the mall. As you know, they have them everywhere.
And they did then. Kids, it's a lot of Gen Y and millennials. Yeah. They're like, what? Mall? There was a modeling contest?
Totally
yeah,
millennial.
They used to have these things.
I'm a millennial. Yeah. So then, what happened, I ended up, the girl who threw it, she owned a company. She owned a talent agency. And a magazine agency and all that. And her computer broke. So while we're having this little party for all the models, she's talking about this computer. "Oh, my computer broke," and blah, blah. And I looked at her. I go, "Oh, I can fix it." And she's like, "What?" Here's this teenager telling her, "I can fix it." And so she just grabs. She's like, well, we need to talk. So she gave me her computer, her desktop. And I took it home. My dad... we take down computers. My family, whole family.
Oh, that's great.
Crates computers and laptops and stuff.
Another thing you two have in common.
Yeah, that's crazy. So it got fixed. I gave it back to her, and she said, "I want to hire you for a job." So I was a minor now, still, and she hired me as an administrative assistant at her talent agency.
Right.
And so now I'm introduced to the acting world, not just the modeling side of it. And at that point, so a lot of our actors didn't show up for an audition. And they were looking for a 2-year contract for theater, live theater, to travel all over the world. And like, you could pay for the traveling and everything.
Yeah.
So she goes, "Janet, go and pretend like you're one of the students." She goes, "Just go pretend."
Just as a joke?
No, because it makes it look like we have more students.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because a lot of them didn't show up.
Right.
So I go in there. I don't know what an audition is. I have never auditioned in my life. I have no idea what I'm doing. So I'm like... I'm just nervous, and I go in there and I'm like, "Hi." So he goes, "Okay, here's the script, go ahead and read it." And I was thinking, oh no, he's gonna find out that I'm not an actor. So I'm gonna get caught. And so I just grabbed the paper and I started like, okay, just pretend that you're an actor pretending to be an audition.
You're acting as an actor.
Yeah. And so this is all an act. So I went ahead and pretended
so
like
meta.
Pretend like I knew what I was doing. And as I got out, next thing you know, my boss calls me and she goes, "Janet, we have a problem." I said, "What is it?" She goes, "You got the audition." She goes, "I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to quit."
Yeah, because her computer's going to be messed up. Yeah.
She goes, "I kind of need you in the office." And so at that point, I was thinking, well, what are we going to do? And so I called the guy. I go, "I can only do weekends." He goes, "Yeah, it's perfect. We just need you on the weekends." I go, "Oh, okay." So I can still keep both of the jobs.
Very cool.
So that's where I started acting, like in live theater and stuff. And that developed into commercials and so forth.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, And this was after the whole Selena thing, I guess. But
that was way after, yeah. Because
were Selena. You disappointed at that? Because you know that's going to be big.
I really wanted to audition for that and do it. And yeah, I know to this day I'm thinking like, wow. You just never know when you're going to.
Yeah, you could have had a totally different rare. Life. Yeah.
Is your dad or your mom, or are they like, yeah, we were wrong. You should have been
Selena. She did say that after. Now that she's cool with it, she's like, right. I should have just said yeah to that lady. But and then the other, you know, once I, same thing with, so I have placed my information online. There was this website for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And you can place yourself on there as like kind of list yourself up
and
there.
And this was Palm Springs?
Yeah, because Palm Springs is a very small area. It's a very small community.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went ahead and submitted myself as an actor. So I get this call out of nowhere, and you probably already know this.
I'm waiting to see the faces here.
So I get this call out of nowhere, and they're like, hi, you know, we're traveling from Los Angeles, and we need some actors. So can you send us some actors? And, you know, just send us, we need, how many do you need? I'm like, because I'm thinking they're talking about me. So I'm like, well, yeah, I can come, you know, and they're like, no, we need around 50. And I'm thinking like, I'm like, you want to audition 50 people? I'm like, I'm not an agent.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm not a talent agency. I'm an actor. They're like, oh, I'm so sorry. I thought you were a talent agency because I saw your listing. And so they're like, well, we can use you. Send us your headshot. Send us everything. And I'm like, okay, I'll text it to you because this is all like last minute. Right. I end up being their guide for the Palm Springs film. I mean, mm-hmm. I helped them find their costumes, where to go to the costumes. I helped them find the bar locations.
Tell them what the film is.
Oh, that one? Yeah. That one was Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
That one's Ready or Not.
That
yeah.
was...
So they filmed it in Palm Springs.
But you also stumbled into...
Indiana Jones?
Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull.
Oh, yeah. That was a whole... Right. I know. It goes... it's crazy.
Wow.
Whole thing's really wild.
She just steps into
yeah,
gold
just,
every time.
So I ended up on... Yeah. So I didn't know I was doing Indiana Jones because anybody who's worked on Indiana Jones knows this. They don't use the real name.
Yeah. You just thought you were auditioning just for another movie.
Yeah. No, I didn't even audition for that. They just got it was like that, kind of like it was an act. Like it
yeah,
was
that's
just,
why I thought that. Yeah, because you were
yeah, that was
pretending
just,
to be an agent, and then you pretended to be an actress.
The whole thing just was wild. Yeah, so I got connected with them, and they wanted to hire me as an actress. And I think they needed Peruvian women, okay. Latina women. I'm Mexican, but mm-hmm. you know they were looking for Peruvian looking women.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they stumbled upon me. They called me. What was interesting was I didn't know what this movie was. It was called Untitled for so long.
Right.
Until I got on set.
Okay.
So
you didn't know
it
was Indiana Jones until you were there. And...
No. And they were using a different name too. So even like on the sign outside of the where we're going for a fitting, mm-hmm. like they had a different name on the outside.
Right.
So they always use like a different name. And so when I went in, it's not till I actually got in that I realized like it's Indiana Jones. And back then, they didn't call it that. They had a different name as well. It was called the Crystal Skull fourth installment of the Crystal Skull. And then they changed it. So I think the name got changed once. So yeah, I didn't even know
so
until
you're
I was...
like, oh, I'm in a movie. Yeah, that'd be cool. You know, and then it's the biggest movie of the year.
Yeah, I was so shocked, and I met
Steven Spielberg is telling you what to do, and Harrison Ford's hanging out.
I met Shia LaBeouf, Harrison Ford, Steven Spielberg, and it was my whole life like was like, what is going on here? I had no idea.
That's funny. Now, can I get some? Was there any Shia LaBeouf dirt? Let's be honest, because I've had other actors that have worked with him, and they all say he's great.
Oh,
do you
gosh.
Have any dirt on him?
I don't want to say too much.
That's a yes.
I would just say that I think it was earlier on in his career.
Right.
Than now. Maybe he, obviously, you know how it is when you're young and you get, all of a sudden you're in Transformers, you're in Indiana Jones. So I think that was definitely early on in his career. And he was very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of kept to himself for the most part and was very, very close with Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So I felt like Harrison Ford was almost like, I mean, I'm not sure, but it,
mentoring him.
Yeah, if anything. And they were very close in that way. I didn't really see. But Harrison Ford would talk to, you know, he would talk to Steven Spielberg. He would be out there talking. He even spoke to me.
He's a regular guy.
Yeah. He spoke to me and whatnot. But Shia LaBeouf was quiet at the time. Right. On the set that I was on. He was kind of keeping to himself a lot.
Sure. Yeah. I heard that there was some hijinks with you and Harrison Ford. And there was a... That's a great story.
Oh, right. When, oh, yeah.
You were afraid to talk to them, but...
They tell you not to talk to them.
Right.
So as soon as I get on set, they tell you, hey, don't talk to Harrison Ford or...
Shia LaBeouf or...
Mostly Harrison Ford. Don't talk to them. And I wanted to respect that. So I was like, oh, I'm not going to talk to them. Like, I don't need it. But yeah, there was a point where I wanted to talk to him so badly where I was thinking... I gotta break that rule, but so
but there was some sort of donkey.
So they had animals on set.
Yeah,
and one of the animals was actually standing there, and one of my friend was playing. Oh gosh, I know Steven Spielberg like handpicked my friend to be in this movie because he looks like a celebrity that passed away. That's mm-hmm. one of Steven Spielberg's favorite. But anyways, they had an animal there, and he's just Harrison Ford ended up standing right there where I was.
Right.
And so I believe it so long ago. I believe it was a donkey, if I remember correctly. Donkey or horse? No, I had to be a donkey. But well, anyways, he started going. And I'm trying to, and my friend and I, because he's over here across from me, and Harrison Ford is in between both of us.
Right.
So I'm looking at him and I'm trying to say, tell him something. Look.
Yeah.
So now everybody's looking, everybody's seeing, and I'm like, and then I look at Harrison Ford, and I'm like, there's something down there. He's like, what? Like, what? Like, what are you trying to tell me? At that point, I was like, well, I guess I could talk to him. He's talking to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm not a mute, you know. So I was like, he looks down. He goes, and Harrison Ford has. This was shocking to me because I didn't realize he has a great sense of humor.
Yeah.
So he just goes like that and he like squats and he's like, yeah, come on. like he was giving burp or something.
That's funny.
So he started like helping the animals like, yeah, come on.
And
I just laughed. I thought that was so cool. I thought he was so, I was thinking.
Harrison Ford, the human laxative.
Right. He's just like, I think he really broke, you know, when that tension that you have?
Well, I'm sure for him, it's like, you know, he was like, I know whatever. People tell people not to talk to him, but I mean, you know, I'm sure he wants to, you know, he wants to have some fun once in a while. And
especially if he talks to you, I think that's okay. But
yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think he.
Well, no, actually, Steven Spielberg just sent me a text and said, you're not on the movie anymore.
Okay, no, do not talk to them at all, okay, unless you guys are told to do so.
Well,
don't break the rule.
another thing, our friend and former guest, my friend, a stand-up comedian, Ian Salmon, was on Minority Report.
Okay.
And said that Steven Spielberg knew him by name and called him by name. Did he call you by name? Did he know you by name? Was it?
No, Steven Spielberg did not call me by name, but he did. I did talk to him though, like off. I mean, when we were not filming.
But he was totally cool and just.
Oh, Steven Spielberg. Yeah, he's like so. He's the most down to earth person. He showed up on set and he just looked so casual, so relaxed. He is a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Steven Spielberg is so sweet. I mean.
Oh wait, he just texted me again and said, "Okay, you're fine."
I just remember how down to earth and humble and sweet and calm. Like I don't remember him screaming or like. Nothing like that. He was just so nice. I was shocked. I was shocked as to how humble he is. But he came
up
to me. That's
what everybody tells me that meets him. That he's just a regular guy.
Yeah, he's such a great person. Like, he gives a good vibe. But he even gave me I think you know the story. I don't know if you know the story, but I was selling candles. And I as he was walking by as a joke, I was saying $1 for a candle, you know, knowing he probably owns the whole place. But I was like, $1 for a candle. And he looked at me and goes, but I was saying it in Peruvian language.
Right.
Which is one sol like sun. So I say, un sol, una vela. And he's like, what are you saying? And I said, oh, I'm selling candles. I was like, for $1. And he's like, oh, I'll buy one from you. And I was like, I'll play along. I was like, sure. I'm like, this is so cool. I saw him in a candle with Steven Spielberg. So I was like, okay. And so he gives me $1. And then he starts walking away because I'm sure this is in between takes.
Right.
So he's got to get to the next setup. But yeah, he has all sorts of things going on. I'm over here screwing her. I start screaming. I'm like, wait, you forgot your candle. And then he was like, it's okay. And then I go, oh my gosh, you forgot your dollar. You forgot your dollar. He goes, keep it, you know, like just keep it. And I was And I was thinking, where am I going to put this? Where am I going to put this? Because they dress you up in their clothes and I have layers.
You don't have pockets.
No, you have no pockets and you have layers and layers. I had layers and layers of clothes. I mean, I look I had just a bunch of layers. And I'm going, oh my God, where am I going to put it? And I think it was my friend across or somebody was like, I was like, oh yeah. I was like, okay, I'll keep it in there. I go, I should have got his little, you know, I mean, I was thinking all kinds of stuff. I got to keep the dollar. And then, you know, and he left. And I thought he was so sweet. I thought, wow, he is like the sweetest person ever.
Well, you start at the top, like the biggest director in Hollywood.
Yeah. He's just. Yeah,
I mean, the set that we were on, because we acted together, was hardly a Steven Spielberg production. It was fun. But
it was definitely fun, yeah.
It's a different type of scale.
Right.
They built a whole city for you, and we were in a small studio, in a jail cell.
Oh, right. We were. That was amazing. I didn't recognize you because you didn't have your uniform on, remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, so you looked at me at the premiere. You're like, oh, my God. You're like, yeah, you're not scary anymore.
Yeah. In the movie that we were in, I was a sail. I had my little, jumpsuit. Like,
yeah, prison jumpsuit.
Prison. And he had his prison outfit. He was the guard. So I didn't recognize him without his uniform. But for the Steven Spielberg, it was a whole set built specifically that was taking place in Peru. So it was like a whole set. You walk in there, 1 minute you're here, and next thing you know, you're in Peru.
Right.
That's cool.
The one, and I'll get right back to you, Walt, but the one other thing about the Indiana Jones thing that I wanted to just get right, they put you on a bus in Palm Springs and drove you to Fresno?
No, from here, from LA.
So it was like a 4-hour bus ride?
It was a long drive. Yeah, I was just remember it was long. And it was long. I just remember it was forever. And then I got off and I just felt like we were in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And I thought, wherever they're taking us, I was like, this is where we're
And when you were on the bus, did you know it was Indiana Jones?
At that point, yeah. It was after I got in that we realized what it was.
Right.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there'd be revolting on the bus. There'll be riots. It's like, I'm not driving 4 hours for just some movie.
Yeah.
Oh, Indiana Jones. Yeah, I'll do that.
I was
sure.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
I thought, the whole ride was interesting. And we were all just sitting there. And we had already gone through fitting, I believe, already. So,
right.
Yeah.
And Walt kind of started at the top, too. After you got out of the game community, you were in the movie XXX, State of the Nation.
Yeah.
Without Vin Diesel.
That's how I got my set coach.
Took out Vin Diesel and put you in.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a lateral move. But no, this is the one Ice Cube was in the sequel.
Yeah.
And I saw it a long time ago. But how'd you get that?
Just sheer luck again. I was just in the right place at the right time. It just so happens I got my SAG card based on the fact they needed my car. I had a Mustang convertible at the time.
Nice.
And I had parked on New York Street where we're doing the filming. And they came back and they said, well, we're going to have to redo this scene because there's some problems. I said, fine, okay. So they had me come back the next couple of days. And that's how I got my SAG card because I was working as an extra at the time.
Cool.
And that bumped me from there. So it just sort of like
Just came in for an extra job and then you became a real actor.
Yeah.
They do that sometimes.
Took advantage of it.
They bump you up.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. It's just amazing.
I thought you played a senator again. I didn't know what was going on.
So,
but how was that set?
Oh, that set was wild. It was wild. I got to see all the machinations of everything. Everything was going on in the set. You know, everything getting blown up and everything. Oh, it was so cool.
Well, I can imagine. I mean, that's a pretty wild action movie. As was Eagle Eye.
Yeah, Eagle Eye.
So Eagle Eye was like right after that?
Yeah, it was right after that.
Yeah, so Ice Cube, and Ice Cube didn't mess with you, did he?
No, I didn't have a chance to interact with them.
Yeah.
You know, I was told the same thing. You know,
don't talk to Ice Cube.
Don't talk to anybody.
Yeah, they tell you that, huh? Don't talk to them.
They get real strict about it because, you know, they're afraid you might disrupt their thought process. Like, okay.
Right.
I can understand it.
Well.
So I would have the discipline enough to be able to step back and say, yeah, you're right. I'm cool. I'll leave you alone.
If you disrupt Ice Cube, you might put a cap in your ass.
I don't want to do that. Yeah.
And Willem Dafoe, I think, was in that. There's a bunch of people in that. Like, it didn't do that well, but it was. I remember it wasn't bad. Especially the guy in the Mustang was pretty good. But you've been in some interesting movies since. And I didn't know I was pregnant. Now tell me about that because I haven't seen that one yet.
Okay. I have seen that. Is that TV show, right?
Yeah, I was. They made me a surgeon.
I auditioned for that.
You have a good look for a surgeon.
Senator, surgeon,
surgeon's doctor. You know,
you have that respectable older man look.
Right.
Yeah.
Little do they know me.
know you. You haven't been in any Viagra commercials, have you?
Not yet.
Oh, well, you're willing to do so.
I won't answer that question.
Yeah, let's make sure that the sponsors know that. Yeah, I'm willing to do it.
And by the way, it's probably a good time to say that we're also sponsored by Eddie by Giddy, which is an ED device. If you go to the description here and in our YouTube channel. Eddie by Giddy, and it works. I've seen the reviews, and we have a code, Darkmark, and it gives you 20% off, and no problems. Some people, they use it all the time. Some people, they use it once, and that's cured. But yeah, I would love to see an Eddie by Giddy commercial or a Viagra commercial. But Eagle Eye, you paid a senator, right?
Yeah, I played the senator.
Now, do you have any Shia LaBeouf horror stories?
No, unfortunately, I don't. Well, except one.
Everybody's got one.
Yeah, we got one. Well, it's really not that big of a story. I mean, I was basically put up in a particular area after I was doing the senator thing. They wanted me to do some other work where I was in the gallery watching mm-hmm. what's going on.
Right.
And they were doing some scenes. And I can't remember the name of the director. Okay. But for some reason, I was asked a question by one of the actors. And I of course, I'm going to respond. I'm not going to sit there. And I turned and I started chatting with them very quietly, very softly. And the next thing I know, the director is glaring at me like, "You're disrupting my scene." Okay. And I'm going, "Okay." He says, "You out now."
Oh, to you?
To me. and so they basically put me back into the holding area where I started chatting with other people saying, "What happened? What happened?"
Yeah.
And I never knew. I guess I disrupted him. You know, he heard me and
you mean Shia?
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. I think so.
Shia got you banned from the set?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure. No. I can't say that for
But
sure.
The director's the one that actually went up to you, but it could have been him.
Yeah.
He's a troublemaker. But yeah, well, so I didn't know I was pregnant. Now you saw that. What is that?
Yes. So I didn't know I was pregnant. I'm kidding. There's women that are pregnant.
No, I'm familiar. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that don't know they're pregnant and then they give birth. And so what happens is these stories are all different. So they do reenactments. And they hire actors.
Oh, like it's like Walter. It's like a semi-reality show.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Very much.
So you're sitting there going, you have to give them the bad news, like
you're pregnant.
Well, actually, the one when I did this particular scene, there was a woman who was about to give birth. And I'm sitting there just saying, "It's going to be okay. You just have to push. It's going to be fine. It's going to come out all right. Just relax. Just try and relax." And so they used my soft voice mm-hmm. for this show in particular. And I have that episode somewhere at home. I taped that.
Right.
Yeah.
And she's cool. Screaming and going hysterical.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. She's acting.
She's giving birth.
She's giving birth.
Yeah.
You know, so she's doing her best job.
And also, she wasn't expecting to be giving birth. So
right. That's exactly. Just like a horror film. Yeah.
That sounds like a horror to me, too.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, you were in those, but you've been in a couple of notable TV shows yourself. Dr. Phil.
Oh, yeah.
You're the second guest we've had on that's been on Dr. Phil. And that was a surprise to your boyfriend, apparently, at the time.
Yes. Oh, you've done your research, huh? Yes. Yeah, so I was dating – no, so I was dating this guy.
Please welcome Janet Lopez.
Right. I was dating this guy. And what was going on was I had a reoccurring dream. It just wouldn't stop. And it just kept happening every night while I was dating another guy.
So, you were dreaming about one guy when you were dating another guy.
Yeah, I was dreaming about my ex, yet mm-hmm. I was dating – I was already moved on. Obviously, I was dating another guy.
Your subconscious would
but
disagree.
But for some reason – and this dream, it was repetitive, and it was my ex. And when I finally would see him in the dream, he would come up to me and he would try to say something to me. But, like, I would always wake up right before he says something. So I didn't know what was the message or what he was trying to convey to me. But it was like he was reaching out to me, but it would not – the message would not come through, I guess. So then
– don't trust what Dr. Phil says.
I know, right? So then I ended up with Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil could solve this mystery. No, I just – so he had a special going on, and they were interested in my story. So they invited me over.
But this is another, like, audition. I mean, it's really, like, you know, it's – people go up for that, like they go up for like a regular audition.
It's like a regular audition. Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you're not necessarily acting, but you kind of are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you do your audition. Yeah. Then you have to go through your whole story and everything. So my ex came along. I mean, sorry, my current boyfriend came along at the time.
Right.
I say ex because he's not my boyfriend now, but
everybody's an ex.
Yeah.
At this point.
So the one that I was dating came with me, and they brought, I wasn't sure what they were going to do. You know, Dr. Phil, I thought Dr. Phil was just going to talk to me about this and that's it. But apparently they had these specialists that were going to give me advice. So they bring these specialists. I think they made things worse because my current boyfriend wasn't really that insecure until after the show, because like they started bringing up, oh, maybe you're still thinking about him, or maybe you're still liking him, and whatever, all these things. And I was thinking, yeah, they're not helping.
You think your girlfriend may be in love or ex-boyfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, so my current boyfriend was like, what? Like, wait. I think he was regretting even showing up at the time. And then you know how...
I'm not a Dr. Phil fan.
Phil was like, you know, trying to like, I don't know. The whole thing was really weird. At the end, the girl told me to, the woman specialist at the end, and finally says, you know what? You gotta ask him what he wants when you finally see this guy in your dream.
Right.
And you just gotta say, what do you want?
and the irony is the response will be, catch me outside, how about that? But but you were also on Tattoo Nightmares.
Yes, as a gangsta.
As a gangsta. Now, did you really have a tattoo that was a nightmare?
No, I was a reenactment. Just like, oh, okay. It was just the same show, like similar right. concept. Like, I didn't know I was pregnant. So
what was the nightmare tattoo that they said you had?
So I was actually one of the girls who was a friend of the girl who got the tattoo.
Oh, okay.
So, and the girl jumps out of the tree, and I'm like, this is a whole thing. I was playing like, there's a whole stunt where this girl falls out of the tree. And she falls on me, whatever. It was really weird, but I play.
It's a big roundabout way to get to a tattoo nightmare.
Yes. Yes. You know, tattoo, have you ever seen the show?
No.
Okay. There's always these outrageous stories as to how they got the tattoo, whether they got jumped and then that motivated them to like go get a tattoo or whatever. So I was playing a gang member, a gangster, Shola girl.
Yeah.
So they did my
By the way, you were in Attack of the 50-Foot Chola.
Yes, 30-Foot Chola.
30-Foot Chola. Were you the 30-Foot Chola?
No, everybody thinks I am. Actually, it's funny. Everybody thinks I am. No, but I am the... I don't even know anymore. I say I'm the antagonist,
mm-hmm.
but I'm actually like the protagonist.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you'll be rooting for me.
You're the one that tells her not to get the tattoo and she gets the tattoo.
Well, not in Attack of the 30 for Shola, but in this one, no, I was pretty crazy in the tattoo nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty crazy in that one. But in Attack of the 30 for Shola, I feel like I was hired as an antagonist,
mm-hmm.
but like in my perspective, I'm totally the protagonist.
Right.
Like I am the innocent one.
Well, Walter, I'll tell you, when you play a villain, you gotta be, and you haven't played too many villains, but you gotta see it from your side. Like,
oh yeah.
And like whatever role you're playing, it's from your perspective. So if you're playing a villain, it's gotta be from your perspective, right?
Oh yes, definitely. And I have played the villain before. And
it's have you? Fun.
Oh yeah.
Were you a villain in White Slaves of K-Town?
No, in that one, that was just basically, you know, a cameo. I mean, I just walked in, made some remarks, and that was it.
Yeah, you know,
I didn't get to play much in that one.
Right.
That's a crazy title.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, I Nicole lives in K-Town, so I thought it was a documentary, like based on your true story.
I don't even know what White Slaves of K-Town means. What does that mean?
I know. I'm still questioning that part.
Walter, what is white slaves? What do white slaves in K-Town mean?
See. It looks like there's a whole bunch of slaves and they are in...
Koreans are enslaving white people?
Yeah, they're basically
Koreans?
Yeah. Well, K-Town is Koreatown.
And they set up whorehouses and...
I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Nicole?
I had no idea about this part of Koreatown history.
Right.
I don't feel enslaved.
I'm thinking this wasn't based on a true story.
No.
It
was definitely.
Because I don't know. You were in a movie. Now this is, brace yourself, Janet.
Oh no.
Brace yourself, because you played a Peruvian and you're Mexican.
Yes.
But you played a guy named Serrano. In Unusual Suspects. You played a Latin man in Unusual Suspects.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's when I got I mean, to play you can... evil. You know, I killed three people there, so it was
there you go.
Fun.
So they couldn't find any Latin actors. They slapped a mustache on you. I mean, you know, good for you. You got the role, but I got to be honest. I saw your reel, and I really liked it. That one...
Did they spray? Yeah. I guess I have a question. Did they spray paint your hair too, or no?
Oh no, no, that was my hair. That was my hair.
It was a while ago, and you had darker hair.
Yeah, yeah, I had darker hair. Now I'm grayed.
Are you feel good about that?
Oh sure, why not?
It's a good looking man. He's a silver fox. Yeah,
silver fox kind of thing. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, so. That's cool. But I mean, when they said, "Oh, we want you to play Serrano,"
I thought, "Wow, juicy!" That's the first thing I thought of. All right, I get to be a villain for a change. You know, I'm always playing the nice guy, the doctor, the lawyer. You know,
right.
I'm always somebody who's helpful and nice and kind. And this is a chance for me to be evil. So it's just a blast. It was a blast. I really enjoyed it. And ever since then, the last couple of movies I've been on was Love Carries, which is a movie I wrote and directed and starred in. I was a bad guy in that.
Definitely the bad guy in the Paradise Motel.
But I get killed in this one. I've been killed in a number of movies.
You got killed in Unusual Suspects or Love Carries?
Love Carries? No, Love Carries, I die. I don't get killed, but I just die. You know, I don't commit suicide or anything like that, but I'm on the verge of it. I drink myself to death, in essence, so I guess I do.
Now you wrote this. Mm-hmm. Is this based on your personal experience?
No, not at all. Just total fabrication. It was one of those things where I wrote the story overnight. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't sleep. Got up and just said, you know what? I'm inspired. I used to write a lot of short stories when I was much younger.
Right.
And I just started typing out something. And the next thing I knew, 2.5 hours later, I had a script.
Okay.
So I went, oh, wow. Okay, cool. And I added a couple of more scenes to it to bold it out a little bit more so it had some more function to it. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it was there. And it just
took hold.
Inspiration. You never know when it's going to strike you. And that's why I've always encouraged actors and directors and writers, just do your thing. Just don't be afraid. Do it. Mm-hmm. Okay? You got nothing to lose. Okay? Just take the time and energy and don't be afraid. I mean, everyone, they are sort of afraid to move forward because they're, you know, they're fearful things are not going to work out.
Yeah.
But if you don't do it, it's not going to work out anyway.
Yeah.
So you might as well do it.
Right. Right. I mean, you've had so many careers. And so was that the first screenplay that was filmed? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, that was my first one.
Right.
Love Carries.
And what prompted you to say, you know what, I'm going to direct this myself? Besides, Spielberg was busy with Jan.
Yeah. But, yeah. Exactly. I couldn't get in touch with him. You know, he kept dotting my phone calls and wouldn't take them. So yeah, I figured, okay, fine. That's what you're going to do to me, Steve. This is what I'm going to have to do. You know, on my own. No, I wanted to get hired. I was having a lot of problems trying to get work as an actor.
It comes and goes.
Comes and goes, right. Mm. It's sporadic at best. Mm-hmm. And so I just felt, you know, I used to write, so why don't I write something? And so I wrote that script.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of it, as they say, is history. I mean, it's now on Prime Video.
It's great.
So
I'll check it out.
Yeah. So is
I should have checked it out before the show, but I'll check it out now. Yeah.
Mark's been busy.
I've been busy. Yeah, I got a few things going on.
Exactly.
But it's definitely not love. Now, what is the plot of Love Carries?
Love Carries is that an older man marries a younger woman in the hopes that she can cure him. He's got a cancer.
Oh.
Okay. But it's not, it's only alluded to, but it's never expressed.
Right.
And it just so happens that she's going to leave him. And he decides that he's going to stop her from leaving. And then he hits her and she falls down. And the next thing you know, you're guessing, did he kill her? Is she dead? Is she alive? What's going on? Did she leave? And then the cops come, of course, and they're looking for her. And they don't find her. Okay. And the last scene is he's burying everything that she owned that he had still. He buries it in the backyard. Okay, and he throws his ring
dark.
Down.
Yeah,
this is getting very dark.
Yeah, yeah, it's very dark. And he throws his ring down saying, goodbye, honey. I miss you. I'm sorry, kind of thing. And so the audience is believing that
she's dead
and she's buried in that pile in the back. Okay. Anyway, the cops finally do unearth it and all that and discover that there's nothing there. It was just her stuff.
Right.
Okay. Meanwhile, the last scene of the movie is that she's on the beach with the deputy,
Oh. And the, she's already moved on.
Yeah. She's already gone. She stole his money and she's off, you know, in Jamaica.
She's out there.
But did she cure his cancer? That's what I want to know.
Nope, he dies.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Is this a Hallmark movie?
It went from like a horror film to like a Hallmark.
It sounds like an interesting psychological thriller. I'm sure there's more to it. I'd definitely check it out.
Psychological thriller.
Lifetime.
I'd love to see it there.
Yeah. You were saying, you know, this is Nicole, you know, I'm a master of horrible segues.
Sometimes.
Watch this.
Okay.
You know, you're saying how the character hits his wife?
Yeah.
You used to be a boxer.
Oh, gosh.
were you a professional boxer?
So I was a ring girl first.
Oh, okay.
And then I started training and became a boxer after that. It's backwards. Sorry.
I was going to say, I thought it was backwards. What I've heard is
I started boxing first. So what happened was I went to a boxing club. I've been going to boxing clubs since I was young, and so I did martial arts and stuff like that. But then when I moved, I started at a boxing club. Mm-hmm. They had ring girls,
right?
And so they were like, "Hey, you should be a ring girl." Like, I'm over here boxing, and they're like, "You should be a ring girl." And I was thinking, "Yeah, okay, I'll go try out. I'll try out to be a ring girl." Wasn't my thing, but I'll do it.
Right.
And so I ended up transitioning from that to being a ring girl, and I never went back to boxing.
But you must have been good because your face isn't beat up.
No, yeah, I was pretty good back then.
I was going to say, martial arts too.
I like boxing, but I like martial arts more.
Right. And what type of martial arts do you
Taekwondo. Practice?
Taekwondo? Yeah. Okay. Be careful, Walt.
I'm not gonna miss with you.
Yeah, yeah. Don't.
I love Taekwondo.
I'm trying to think. Taekwondo. It's tell me, like, is it punching, kicking, throwing?
Yeah, we do the blocking. It's mostly kicks.
Okay.
We do blockings and then.
So
kicks.
So you know how to hit for the boxing.
I know how to hit because of boxing.
And you know how to kick with
because
Taekwondo.
Of Taekwondo.
Taekwondo.
Yeah. So together is a great combination. It's helped me a lot.
But you never used it in a movie, though. You were in Kung Fu Assassins.
Did I use it there? No, I was an assassin, but I never used my martial arts in that one.
Have you ever used your martial arts in a movie?
Recently.
Oh, really?
I was in a movie called Defunct Superheroes.
I'm sorry, say that again?
I know, it's Defunct Superheroes.
Was Ice Cube in this?
No, but I played one of the girls, and I was finally able to use some kind of martial arts.
Oh,
that's cool.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah.
On the Defunct Superheroes.
Yeah, it's brand new. We just finished it this year. Okay. I just finished filming.
So I guess
it.
It's a play on Defunct Superheroes, and these are superheroes that are no longer super.
You'll see.
I'll see.
Yeah. But I was able to use it there. I would love to do more martial arts stuff. Right. Yeah.
And you were in Sex and the Future.
Yes.
Wait. And you played a robot.
I do play a robot.
A sex robot?
Yes. Mm. So when people think of that, they think like really like naughty, but it's actually very nerdy.
So you play a nerdy sex robot.
It's a very geeky. No, it's the whole, it's kind of like a geeky, nerdy script, you know, type of movie.
No, I get it.
Yeah, where this guy, he's like royalty, he's wealthy, and he ends up coming to the United States, and his dad just doesn't seem like... It's almost like he's not going to go anywhere. Right. But he ends up meeting the Uber driver. I mean, you got to watch it. And then
it sounds like the guy
starts talking about how he has this whole concept about robots and it's going to make a lot of money. It's going to be a big thing. He needs an investor.
Right.
Here's this rich guy who's a prince sitting there going, I'm going to show everybody, you know, that I'm going to. So it's kind of like that. And then so it's a very geeky and nerdy type of movie type. So it's not. I don't think it has any real nudity or anything like that.
I didn't mean to imply.
Oh, no, it's okay. Mm. And then, yeah, so when they're making the dolls, I'm one of the especially, like, when they're introduced the dolls for the first time, I'm one of those dolls.
Oh, that, okay.
Like one of those models type.
Okay.
Yeah, because they have different models. Yeah.
There's something else on your IMDb that's even more embarrassing. And I hasten to ask what it even is.
What is it? Oh, no.
Going to the bathroom.
What?
There's something called going to the bathroom.
No.
It says that you're in it. I don't know. It's like a short that's called going to the bathroom.
Wait, are you sure?
It's on your IMDb.
I don't know.
Maybe it was changed the title, but I was like, wait a second. What is this?
No, that's a good one. I've never.
You check your IMDb. You might want to scratch
that. They might have given that credit to me when it was meant for somebody else. I don't know. Maybe there's another Janet Lopez after all.
There's so many other Janet Lopez.
I know, right? No, I don't recall that one.
Yeah.
But that would be a funny movie.
I swear it's on your IMDb. I don't know what it is, but geez, I hasten to even imagine. But
yeah, I don't know.
It's supposed to be a short, too, so I don't even know. But
and it was in English.
I didn't watch going to the bathroom.
You guys, I'm curious now. You got to Google Janet Lopez on
Google.com
and my name comes up.
Go on IMDb and I'm telling you, it's there.
Okay.
But, you know, I think I'd rather watch Walter go to the bathroom, but I don't know what's, I'm sure Walter would rather have that too. But now you've become a bit of a mogul in your day. You own a studio now.
Well, yeah.
Wow.
I own my own studio. It's, Spheroid Productions.
Spheroid Productions.
And
you have an actual working studio.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
And how did that come about?
That came about, again, I couldn't find work as an actor. So I just said, you know what?
I'll build my own studio.
He's like, I'm going to make my own movie, and I'm going to build my own studio, and I'm going to be Steven Spielberg. No.
So I'm going to be my – yeah, I'm going to beat him at his own game. No.
Right.
No. I look up to him. I admire him.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely admiring.
He's phenomenal.
Right, of course.
He really is. He's such a nice guy.
Yeah, he is.
So,
have you met him?
I have not met him.
I've
interacted with him indirectly. Mm-hmm. I've been working on a number of sets with him where he does recognize me, you know, but he doesn't say, hi, Walt, or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things. You keep your mouth shut and you nod and you smile.
Right.
Now, wait a second. What set were you on with Steven Spielberg?
Oh, boy. It was The Aviator.
As an extra? Or?
I was an extra on it, but I was what you would call a featured extra.
Okay.
It just happens there was one scene where I'm interacting. We were watching DiCaprio come walking up the camera, and I'm interacting with him.
Right. Okay? Just like whispering something to him or something.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a casual thing. He ended up directing us, you know, particularly. And this is a funny story.
Wasn't that Scorsese?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That was Scorsese.
Yeah. Yes. So I mean to mix up great directors, but so.
Oh yeah, they're both great.
Yeah. So Scorsese, but you were in The Aviator. That's great.
Yeah. 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 And it just so happens that DiCaprio finally, after the 17th take, he said, "Do you think we have enough?" He says, yeah, you're probably right. Okay, let's moving on.
He said it to you or said it to Scorsese?
No, you said it to Scorsese.
He was like, Walt, do you think we had enough?
Yeah, we had enough for you.
Now, is Scorsese as coked out mad as he seems on interviews?
No, not at all. He's really
what you want to do.
No, he's pretty cool.
He's pretty nice. Cool.
I was really surprised because I was trying to – I've always tried to watch the directors and other people behind – the camera,
right?
Be able to get an idea of what they're doing so I can apply it to what I'm trying to get done.
Right.
Okay. And so it helped me a lot because when I directed, you know, Love Carries.
She just looked at her IMDb and saw that going through the bathroom is on it.
It's there.
It's there. So I'm not telling anything out of school. So
I'm okay. It's on there. But you know what? I think a lot of people want me to work with them maybe. And they just like hope that it's like one of those.
That's the worst way to get you to work with them is to make up a credit that going to the bathroom with you.
Because I'm like, who is this? You know, have you ever seen that rumored? Have you ever go on IMDb and you see somebody's like a movie maybe in development or in.
Right.
It'll say rumor in parentheses, like rumored that this person's in it.
There's a rumor that Janet Lopez goes to the bathroom.
There's a movie out there.
That's it.
And it's rumored that I'm going to be uncomfortable. Cast.
Yeah,
apparently I'm rumored to be cast in that.
Discussed. Exactly. Well, we could dispel that rumor. So from going to the bathroom to Scorsese and Leonardo DiCaprio, when Leonardo DiCaprio is facing you, it must be like looking in a mirror, I would imagine.
Well, I look a little bit like him, but no, he's better looking than I am.
Yeah.
So I have to.
He kind of reminds me of the actor. Oh my gosh, why can't I draw blank? He's like Hannibal. Oh. Is it Hannibal? No,
Anthony. Hopkins?
Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
No, not Anthony. I'm trying to think. Angelina Jolie's father,
John Voight.
John Voight.
Yeah, you look like John Voight. Sure,
yeah,
I can see that.
Yeah.
I met him actually. I met him on set. And he came up to me and said, "You look like me."
Was that
really?
That was funny.
Was that Triple X?
We chatted for about 10 minutes or so.
Was that Triple X? Or what movie was that?
No, that was a TV show that he was doing at the time.
So John Voight looked at you and said, "Wow,
he could be his stand-in or his."
Yeah, except he's taller than I am by about 2 inches.
Oh, okay. That's not so much.
Yeah. But he's a handsome guy.
Now, if I put, you know, lifts on, I could probably get away with it. Yeah.
Well, he's a handsome guy in his day. He still
is. In his day. Well, yeah, he's lost a little bit of it, you know, as he's gotten older.
Right. So you're better looking than John Wayne.
I am now.
He's like, yes.
But the latest project from your studios. Now, how vast are your studios? Like, what? Because I know that you have a website and people can rent your studio for certain things. What would they be able to do at your studio?
Well, I'd like to work on commercials because they're quick and dirty, and they require, you know, accuracy but speed. I mean, that's one of the things that commercials really, you know, give to you.
I love commercials. They keep us up. Yeah, they give us.
Janet started in commercials. She's been in many commercials.
Yeah. Yes, I love commercials because they pay the bills. Yeah, that's how we pay the bills. Yeah, commercials. Yeah.
What was the favorite commercial that you were in, Janet?
I think I did a set commercial with Estrella, the drink.
Okay.
It's like an alcoholic drink.
Right.
And I like that commercial because they added a lot of Mexican culture into it.
That's great.
So. That was one of my favorites.
Spanish dialogue, I would assume?
Was that in English?
Or did they do both?
They might have done that one in English. Sometimes I can't tell the difference because I might be speaking Spanish thinking, do you know what I mean? Like
I know. I see sometimes they have commercials that are in English and Spanish with the same actor.
No, you're right. They do that.
Right.
I think that one might have been in Spanish. No, English. It was in English. Okay. Just remembered. It's English.
Right.
100%.
What commercials have you been in that were?
Oh, boy. I've been in, let's see. There was a bottled water commercial that I was in. I didn't make it. I mean, it hit and miss.
Really?
Very quickly. Yeah. I'm trying to remember. There were several others I was in, but
you still get paid.
So, like, you filmed the bottled water commercial, and then the company went out of business.
Yeah,
or something?
It just essentially went out of business.
Oh,
they never promoted it. They never did anything with it.
Just so you guys know, even if you do a commercial, like let's say you film a commercial, and that's not the case, but you still film it, it doesn't always make it till the end. So, like, they'll even edit it and everything, and you'll get paid, but you just never see it on air. So you'll still get paid
as long as the checks cash.
Yes.
So, yeah. Exactly.
So you want to? So your studio is ready for commercials?
Yeah, pretty much so.
Yeah,
I'm ready to do that. I'm. You know, we've done a couple of short films. I did the Sins of the ... which was another film similar to Love Carries.
Sins of the ... Did you write this?
Yeah.
I wrote this as well. Okay. Let's hear this plot.
Right.
Okay. Sins of the ...
What goes on?
It's basically Love Carries, but it had a different ending to it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, I'm sensing a pattern here. And are you married?
I am.
Yeah, right.
You are. Because I'm sensing a pattern here.
Vera Taylor.
And I'm not saying that real life crosses over, but Paradise Motel, you also play an abusive husband.
That's right.
Wow.
And you wrote that too.
I wrote that as well.
You're getting it all out on paper rather than getting it all out on your wife, I'm assuming.
Yeah, there you go. See?
He's living his dream.
He's living his dream of kicking the shit out of his wife.
Swinging.
No. She's a wonderful lady.
She's also
an actor as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
She is.
What has she been in?
Oh, she's been in a whole bunch. In fact, she's been in more stuff than I have. Her name is Vera Taylor.
Mm.
Okay. And she's been in so many roles. She did Elders React she's still doing it actually for the last 10 years.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So she's been in like 157 episodes, something like that.
Wow.
I lost track of how
many. That's wonderful. Great.
Oh, we should have her on the show.
Did you meet her?
Yeah, she's really cool.
Did you meet her on set?
No. It's really interesting. I was actually asked to work on a film. It turned out to be a porno film, but I didn't know that at the time.
Oh, wait,
yeah.
Now you're saying all the good stories for the end. What happened here?
Of course. I always leave the best for last.
So how do you accidentally get on a porn set?
Okay.
I was
working as an extra. Okay, but I worked on one show.
Extra in a porn movie.
And, well, I got a phone call from the director who just so happens they wanted me for a movie. I didn't get to do anything with the sex part of it.
I understand your wife wouldn't let you. I get it.
Well, this was a movie a short movie that was basically about a wedding, and they wanted me to be a wedding guest.
Okay.
Is this like Skinamax? Is this like soft porn?
Like
a Playboy sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so they called me up. They said, and my wife answered the phone. Normally, I pick up the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so
she better know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so they asked me. Well, you know, she gives me the phone. They asked me, "Do you want to be in this movie?" And I said, "Sure, why not? What the heck? You know, the pay is good, yeah, and so forth." And so they said, "By the way, who was that answered the phone?" I said, "Oh, well, that's my wife." And they said, "Oh, would she be interested in being in our movie as well?" And I said, "Okay, why not?" So I gave her the phone, and she says, "Well, I don't know about this, but I'll give it a shot." And she's been acting ever since.
Oh, wow. So you created a monster. You're the one that
created a monster. Oh. She's got more credits than I do. She gets more play than I do. Magazines are calling her up asking her to be on the cover of magazines.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is she a younger woman? Is that what's going on?
No, she's older.
She's okay. So
she's older than you?
I like older women.
She's older than you?
Yeah, she's older than I am. Yeah.
Really? Oh,
good for her. Yeah. No, I'm all about older women. Once a woman hits 60, then I'm suddenly attractive. I don't know what it is, but
you have to wait till you hit 60.
A Paradise Hotel. You work with some of our friends, Donnelly Heising, who has been on our show before, Mel Novak, who's been working since the 70s, and it's been winning a lot of awards.
Yes. Yeah, I was really lucky to get those two to work on this film. I mean, I was just so amazed.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, Joe.
Joe Williamson.
Joe Williamson.
Oh, yeah,
shout out to him, too. Because that was really wonderful that they were willing to work on this.
Nice.
And Paradise Motel, it's pretty interesting in the sense that it's about a battered wife who is escaping, trying to find her own paradise.
No, I get it.
And she doesn't find paradise. She finds that paradise is not always what it seems to be.
Oh, no.
Nothing is what it seems. And so a bunch of people try and kill her.
Oh, okay. My God, this
and
poor woman.
I play the husband chasing after her. Donna plays the wife.
Right.
Oh, my
And
gosh.
I'm chasing after her, trying to get my money back that she stole from me. Okay.
This seems to be a recurring theme, too.
Yeah.
That women steal money
from him. Stealing money from him.
Yeah.
Does this happen to you at one point?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, maybe there is a pattern here. I'm starting to wonder about this. I should talk to my therapist about this.
Right. Talk to Dr. Phil.
I was thinking it.
Dr. Phil,
keep writing these weird scripts where your wife's getting beat up. Maybe you're thinking about your ex-girlfriend. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see if we can get you on the cast for Dr. Phil now. But we'll see what happens. But
Me in the show. She does kill me in this particular
movie. Oh, nice. No. Oh, I'm going to watch it.
That's half the fun.
How grisly is it?
Not too grisly.
Oh, okay, good.
I was trying to be a film noir type arrangement.
Right.
So it's dark, but at the same time, not too gory. Mm. I didn't want to make it that gory because I didn't want to lose the whole idea of the thriller itself.
Right.
You know, and the ending is kind of
ambiguous.
Well, it's ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads on to the sequel, which I'm working on now. In fact, I just got done finished writing the script, and now I'm looking for funding, and I already got the actors lined up. Donna's back in it.
Great.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
But you're not going to be in it. Are you?
Yeah, I got killed, but there'll be flashbacks.
Yep.
So I get to be in a flashback.
Well,
I'm pulling a Hitchcock,
Yeah.
Every film that you're involved with.
Right.
One way or the other.
Well, yeah. If you need a big guy to be one of her lovers, you can cast right here. Who knows?
How about a bouncer?
A bouncer. I'll be a bouncer.
I'll be a bouncer.
Yeah, I'll bounce it. Especially, if it's a flashback scene and you're terrorizing your wife, I'll bounce you right out of it. But exciting was it?
I was going to say that it's called Hell's End. It's called Next Stop Hell's End.
Next Stop Hell's End.
And it takes place mostly in a strip club.
Okay. Oh, wow.
So there's a different theme there.
They got a role for you, too, Nicole.
Hey, there you go.
I know, right? I could be the waitress. Ladies. She'll be this dodge.
Nicole is shaking her head no. She's shaking her head.
All right. You can be the waitresses. That's fine with me.
Now, Jan, how exciting was it when the last time we were hanging out was a few weeks ago, and there was not one but two movies that you starred in that were on the big screen.
Oh, yes. We had a double feature going on.
Lies of the Wicked Warden and Beyond the Gates of Hell.
That was so much fun. I think I was just amazed as how we were able to pull that off, I guess. The director and everybody, the whole crew.
Directed by Dustin Ferguson, our friend.
Yes. He was able to pull it all off, along with Eric, who's helping us, and just everybody. And Yeah, I thought it was just great to see it.
You're the protagonist of Liza the Wicked Warden.
Yes. Yeah, I play the. I go on the cover to find out what happened to my sister.
Right.
So I go on the cover and basically end up in jail, in orange suit.
Right.
In prison. Right. So.
Terrorized by men and women alike, whipped.
Yes.
Almost assaulted. And luckily you got to kill me. And so you didn't get assaulted. Yes. And,
I did. That was my favorite part.
That was a lot of people's favorite part. There was big cheers when I got killed.
Yeah, everybody this year in the theater, I heard everybody was like, yeah!
It's not in the movie anymore. Good. Okay.
Yeah, everybody was excited.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
To be fair, that's when you really show your strength, and that's where the whole tide turns, and you really lead the charge against the
I was
evil
able
warden.
To fight back finally. And it was amazing. It was amazing to be a part of that whole thing.
And then I didn't know you were in Beyond the Gates of Hell.
Yes. I play the daughter.
Yes.
So that was cool too. I play the daughter of my two preppy. I would say they were kind of preppy.
They were very parents. That was the thing, because it's like they're very white bread.
Yes.
And you're not.
Well, I'm from the previous marriage, or perhaps I was adopted, but okay. I'm there for right. I was like, yes. Definitely my mom. Maybe that's why my dad didn't care. Did you notice, like, throughout the whole movie, my
dad
didn't care
about a lot except for the maid.
Yeah, the dad was like, he didn't care about me, but my mom was really worried, so
right.
That's kind of telling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see Nicole?
Yes.
Your mom looks whiter than Nicole in this movie. She looks so much whiter than Nicole.
Yeah.
But, so
it was, I had a hot mom and a hot dad.
They were pretty.
My dad was hitting on me. No, I was just kidding. But that was afterwards. No, I'm just
kidding. I bet he was. But we could talk all day.
I know. This is bad.
This is so much fun. No, trust me. I'm sure he did. But, Janet, what other? You've got so many movies coming up. Actually, when you look at your IMDb, take out Going to the Bathroom. You've got so many projects.
I might end up in that one. No,
in 2022
kidding.
Coming up. What do you have coming up?
Yeah. Okay. So I do have a multi-universe film series coming up, and that one, I do have a role already in it. I'm playing a woman named Soshi.
Okay.
I can't say too much. They made me sign something, but I am excited, and so that's going to be big. That's the biggest
one. When they make you say something, sign something, that's good.
Yeah, because it's a six movie deal.
Oh, that's great.
So it's going to be six movies, and I'm in all six.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Isn't that great? You eat six movies at once?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be like a series. Like.
Yeah, but I mean, you're contracted to.
Oh, yeah, to be in these movies. Yeah.
Six.
So that's like the most exciting one, and yeah, the rest, I have a TV series that I'm going to be a part of. It's Vice, and I'm not sure. So they switched me from Miami Vice to, because they have so many Vice, you know, like New York Vice and all that. So they switched me over to another state. So now I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was Miami.
It's going to be Pacoima Vice.
Yeah. But basically, I'm in one of those.
It's going to be Chatsworth Vice. It's
right.
Gonna,
yeah. One of those Vice, you know what I'm talking about? So I'm excited with that. I just did a TV pilot where I play a detective. And so that's getting pitched. And so many pilots.
You're on your way. It doesn't matter that you're doing Selena. You're getting tons of roles now.
Yes.
See why, because you're very talented. And, I mean, you, obviously, based on today, you got plenty of personality.
Oh, I'm also in – I do want to mention this. We're filming this weekend – Killer Doll Part 3.
Is this a Dustin Ferguson
yes.
movie?
Okay, yeah. You gotta throw that out there.
I knew it.
Gotta throw that one out there.
Dog Killer 3. No, but but you light up a room. You're fantastic, and I've seen you act, and apparently you can cry on cue, and you can do all sorts of things. So
yes.
The sky's the limit. If people want to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, that's great. Facebook, Janet Lopez.
Become
actor.
A fan, yes.
Yeah, it's actor Janet Lopez or Janet Lopez actor, because both of them would come to me. And then
If you put Janet Lopez in Facebook, you'll get like
a lot. But Janet Lopez actor or actor Janet Lopez, and then you can Google me IMDb. If you have Pro, you'll get my info there, because I'll come up right away. I'm the first person when you Google me. And then you could do Instagram JayLaxoxo.
And I've looked at that, and I don't know what that means.
Oh, So XOXO means hugs and kisses.
No, I got that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, J-Lo is just because.
So like J-Lo, you're J-Lo.
A lot of people were calling me J-Lo because of Janet Lopez. So they would call me J-Lo, Jennifer, Janet. And I just wanted to like whoop, switch it up a little bit. And I was like, just call me J-Lo because that way it's a little different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they still call me J-Lo. And they still call me Jennifer. You can't get away from
being J-Lo.
You can't
get away from Selena no matter what you do.
Yeah, they still do that.
No matter what you do. And Walt, you are a delight. How do people get a hold of you? And tell us how they can rent the studio, how commercial people can get rent the studio, and what other wife-beating scripts and movies you have coming up. I'm kidding. I'm sure you have other things going on.
I do. I'm also working on a comedy, a rom-com, basically.
Thanks.
Nice. Thank goodness. Nice.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's about time. I have to switch it out a little bit.
Does she steal your money?
No. In this case, someone steals her heart.
But Walt, how do people get a hold of you, and how would people rent the studio?
Okay. You can go to my website, which is spheroidfilms.com. And
SPHEROID.
Yeah, that's it. Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
I was a spelling bee champ in third grade, and it finally paid off.
Finally, right. And you can look up my name, which is W. Hochbruckner, HOCHBRUECKNER, at yahoo.com. Or you can find me on IMDb as well.
And there'll be only one.
There'll be only one. I hope.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe it's
I have a nephew with the same name.
Right. Is he an actor?
Same middle initial, too, unfortunately.
Is he an actor?
No, he's not an actor.
Oh, okay. Good. Because, he go to SAG and get you kicked out.
Start using your ID.
But before I go, what was the last video game that you played
that
you enjoyed?
I played. Oh, my gosh. Battlestar, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that ColecoVision? What Battlestar is? What is that?
Oh, gee. That's an old game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you like the old games. Me too. Like I got an Xbox and like all the new games I end up behind a door and I can't get out. That's just me. But anyway, and Nicole.
Hello.
Jet Setter. Yeah. Yeah. Nicole's here. Anyway, so Seal must have been quite a wild experience because you've been very quiet for the show.
I've been talking
a little bit, but how do people get a hold of you, and how do they buy your book?
You can buy my book at lulu.com, lulu.com.
That's Slow Burn, the poetry book.
Yes, Slow Burn, the poetry book. And then you can go to Instagram. I'm Nicole H, or I'm sorry, that's my Facebook. Nicole on Facebook, I'm Nicole H6, and on Instagram, I'm Nicole 6 Books.
Yes, and go to Goth Comedian on all social media, and everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.